All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Pei Dalid 84. We are picking up on the last two lines of Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Two lines are from the bottom. Reish Lakish Amar. Reish Lakish Amar. So our shir this morning is dedicated by Aaron and Alana Weinberg in honor of the 7th anniversary of the complete refuah of Yonatan Weinberg. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, this young man will enjoy a life filled with gizunt ad me'e ve'esim shanim tovos. Let's begin. So remember, we're still in the sugya here dealing with invalid karbanos that are placed on the mizbeach, and ultimately, again, when I'm obligated to take them down and when I can leave them on there. So two lines up from the bottom, 83b. Shlag Yishamar. Mincha ba bifni atzma. We'll say if you have a mincha that comes on its own. Now, we're going to see that there are two types of minachos that were offered. You could have what we call mincha ba bifni atzma, which is a regular mincha, or you can have a mincha which is brought in the capacity as a nesach, as a libation. The difference between them is as follows. A mincha that is brought as nesachim ultimately is fully burned on the mizbeach versus a mincha ba bifnei atzma, which is what we call a classic mincha. Only the kamitza, the three finger fills of the flour, is burnt and the rest is consumed by the kohanim. So Reish Lakish says as follows. Mincha ba bifnei atzma, divrei kulan lo sirei. We'll say if you have a mincha that was brought and there's something invalid about the mincha, but it already went on the mizbeach, you don't take it off. So the Gemara, l'divrei kulan lo sirei. Everybody agrees that you don't take it down. L'divrei Rabbi Yosi, l'divrei Rabbi Akiva, tered. We'll say an interesting verbiage here. Everyone agrees that you don't take it down, except those who disagree. So meaning the majority agree that once the mincha goes up, you don't take it down. But Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Akiva hold that in fact you do take it down. Top of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Mincha boi mazevach. But we'll say, what happens if you have a mincha which comes along with a carbon? So we'll say this would be the example of what we call the minchas nesachim. So what about this type of offering? L'divrei Rabbi Gamliel of Rabbi Yoshua lo seirid. So it's according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. We'll say these are all the opinions that we stated yesterday. Now, if you take a look at Rashi for just a moment, so Rashi says over here, it's actually, look at Rashi, it's four lines down from the top of Pei Dalet Amud Aleph in Rashi. L'divrei Rabbi Yosi Achli Rabbi Akiva Tered, Tahalo Merbu Ela Ola Vidugmasa Min Behema Va'ofalo Mincha. So we'll say, just going back to the Mincha case, the reason why Rabbi Yosi Achli and Rabbi Akiva hold that the mincha does come down if it's invalid is because they only hold that this idea that the mizbeach accepts even invalid karbanos, that is only a din by animal offerings. It is not a din by any type of meal offering. Okay, next. So mincha by mazevach. We'll say, what about a karban? What about a karban mincha that comes because of another karban? In other words, it's brought as an accompaniment, what we call a nesach. It's brought as an accompaniment to a regular karban. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, you don't go ahead and take it down, even if it's invalid. But according to everyone else, in fact, you do go ahead and take it down. Because I will say this would be viewed ultimately again as almost like an animal offering. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara calls it nesachim haboim bifnei atzman. What about the nesachim? What about if a karban mincha that's brought as a nesach is brought on its own? So and again, it goes in the mizbeach, but it's invalid. The divrei kulan yerdu. Everyone agrees that it should come off the mizbeach. You do not go ahead and take it down. Nesachim haboinim azevach. What about the nesachim? Right, this would be the karban mincha that's brought as a nesach together with the karban. L'divrei kulan yerdu. According to everyone, you take it off the mizbeach. L'divrei Rabbi Gamliel l'chudei lo yerdu. According to Rabbi Gamliel himself, you don't take it down. So we'll say to which the Gemara says pshita. We'll say now all of these cases are obvious because remember we spoke about all of these different shitos and all of these different ideas yesterday. So what's the novelty here? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the novelty is. Mincha haba bifnei atzma itzrichalei. Both are the case that is the novelty, is the case of mincha haba bifnei atzma. Ultimately, again, the case of the mincha, which comes on its own. Why, we'll say, why is this a unique case? It's tricholei ukidir rabba. So we'll say, I need this case ultimately again because of rabba. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, mincha ba bifnei atzma it's tricholei ula ashmoinon diyesh minchas nesochim haba bifnei atzma kidir rabba. We'll say, as we're going to see, the novelty that's trying to be expressed to us over here is that you could have a minchas nesochim, which is normally what we call a libational mincha, which is brought as an accompaniment to a regular animal sacrifice, can go ahead and even be brought on its own. When we say brought on its own, that doesn't mean that it's just offered up as its own independent carbon. It means it could be brought at a later date, even than the regular actual animal carbon. Dama Rava, misnadev adam minchas nesachim b'chol yom. Because Rava says a person can be misnadev a minchas nesachim any day. Rashi says over here, misnadev adam minchas nesachim below zevach va'af agav shlo amra toras mincha kalil haba el haba biglal zevach hecha de parish parish. So said Rava is of the opinion that you could even bring the minchas zevach even without the actual carbon. So the Gemara says v'nashma inon kidir Rava. So why not just say that? So why not just go ahead and espouse the idea and say that we're passing according to Rava? To which the Gemara says, "I'll tell you why." Nisachim habayim amazevach itzrichale. Because the truth is, we needed to bring down the case of nisachim which come with karbanos as well. Why? The kamakriv luhu lemachar uliyomachara. Both said to teach us, and this is what we were mentioning before, that when you have a karban mincha that is brought in what we call a libational capacity. Although in the paradigmatic situation, so everything is brought together, but me'ikar adin, even if you did not bring it together, you could bring the libational mincha sometime after the actual animal offering of the zevach. Meaning, l'machar, the next day, ul'yom machara, or some subsequent day. Saladayt hamina, and I will say, why is this novel? Because I would have thought, ho'il va'omer mar, mincha sam, v'niskehem balayla, Minchasam v'niskehem lamachar. Because I will say, ultimately, again, the pasuk says, Minchasam v'niskehem, that teaches me, ultimately, that the carbon, that part of the carbon could be offered up at night. Minchasam v'niskehem lamachar, that part of the carbon could be offered up the next day. Kinesachin haba'in bifnei atzman damu. So ultimately, again, that they should be counted like the carbon itself. And I will say, just like the carbon has to be brought in a specific time, so too I would have thought that the libations, the mincha libations that are brought to accompany it, also have to be brought at a particular time. Umodi Rabbi Shimon de lo yardu, and Rabbi Shimon therefore would agree that if they go up on the mizbeach, they don't come off. Kamashmalan Rabbo say that is not the case. So Kamashmalan ultimately again that they do come off the mizbeach if they are in fact invalid. But also furthermore, the novelty over here is that the libational menachos can be actually offered at a later time than the primary carbon. So that's the interesting novelty over here, because normally we would assume that whatever are the accompanying libational aspects of a carbon are bound by the same halachos of the carbon itself. But here we see that halacha lemaisa, the menachos that are brought as in the nesachim could actually come even at a later time than the primary carbon itself. Good, says the Mishnah. Elu. So we'll say, still continuing on the in the what comes up doesn't always come down, right? What goes up on the mizbeach sometimes stays up on the mizbeach. But yeah, we're going to see now that there's another category of items which even if they go up on the mizbeach are taken down. Elu im alu lo yerdu. We'll say these are the karbanos where if they go up on the mizbeach, they are not taken down. What are they? Halon. So we'll say ultimately again, if you have a karban that stays overnight, right? Meaning it stayed past its appropriate time. Right? So it stayed overnight. Now we'll say, and remember, I want to point out, so if you went ahead and then you then put it on the Mizbeach, so you don't take it down. We're assuming over here that we're talking about shogeg cases. These are all inadvertent situations of karbanos, bless you, that were technically invalid. Someone made a mistake and put it on the Mizbeach. So the shaila then becomes, when do you leave it up on the Mizbeach versus when must you take it down. So elu im alu lo yardu. These are the examples of karbanos where if they go up on the mizbeach, you don't take them off. Halon, so case number one is you left a karban sitting overnight without offering it up, and accidentally the next day you put it on the mizbeach, you don't take it down. Hayotze, bose a karban that for accidentally was taken out of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, comes back in, ultimately again accidentally put on the mizbeach, you don't take it down. Tamei, a carbon that becomes tamei. Vishenishchat chutz lizmano v'chutz l'mkomo, or a carbon that was shechted outside of its prescribed time or outside of its prescribed place. Vishikiblu psulin, or I will say old v'zarku esdamo, or a kohen who is pasul did the kabbalah and or did the hazod, did the sprinkling of the blood. So we'll say all of these are cases where if the carbon, what the, all of these cases are cases where a carbon should not be offered. In other words, what we normally do with karbanos in these type of circumstances, we burn them. We burn them. Not on the Mizbeach, in the Beis Hadesh. We just simply get rid of it and we discard it. What the Mishnah Talmud over here is, if I inadvertently went ahead and placed it on the Mizbeach, I do not take it back down. Rabbi Huda Omer, Shenishchat Balayla, if you have a karban that was accidentally shechted at night. Most remember, again, we don't shecht karbanos at night. So it was accidentally shechted at night. And v'nishpach dama. Or, again, its blood was spilled. We'll say this is a case, ultimately, again, where zrika wasn't done, right? The blood spilled. Or v'yatsa dama chutz l'kilayim. Or its sacrificial blood was taken outside of the curtains of the Beis HaMikdash. Im alsa teret. In all of these cases, this karban should not be offered. But if it was put on the Mizbeach, you take it down. So we'll say these are cases, Rabbi Huda will say, where if it goes up, you take it down. Rabbi Shimon Amar Lo Seirid. Rabbi Shimon says you don't take it down. Why? Shehari Pesula BaKodesh. Because ultimately, again, its invalidation is in the Kodesh. What does that mean? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shepisula BaKodesh, HaKodesh Mekablo. Lo Haya Pesula BaKodesh, Ein HaKodesh Mekablo. Here Rabbi said, Rabbi Shimon espouses a principle, which is going to be very important. Rabbi said, this is similar to a principle we had before. Rabbi Shimon says, any time that the invalidation of the karban is something that is related to a unique detail of sacrificial law, then ultimately what? Then ultimately, if the karban goes up, even though it shouldn't have, we let it stay on the Mizbeach. If the invalidation is something inherent in the animal itself, then what? Then we take it down. So we'll see here the distinction. If the animal itself, the behema itself, the animal itself, is kosher, there is just a problematic detail in sacrificial law. So then Rabbi Shimon will say, if it goes up on the Mizbeach, you can leave it there. If the animal itself is inherently, fundamentally problematic or flawed, then even if it goes up, you take it down. So that's what Rabbi Shimon says in these cases over here, of let's say, shechted at night, the blood spilled, the blood was taken out. So we'll say, Rabbi Shimon says, these are cases of pisula bakodesh. These are cases of where there's not a problem with the animal. The animal is fine. There's a problem with what was done to the animal, agave sacrificial law. That if it goes up on the Mizbeach, it stays. We'll say, the Gemara is going to contrast it. The elu shelo hayu pisula bakodesh. So we'll say, I know plenty of examples of what we call pisulo bakodesh. So pretty much all of the cases that we mentioned up until now are all examples of cases where the problem with the sacrifice is a detail in sacrificial law. The animal itself is inherently fine. It's just that someone violated some tenet of sacrificial law. That's called pisulo bakodesh. Rabbi Shimon will say that what? That if the carbon went up, it stays up. So what's an example, ultimately, again, of something she'in pisul bakodesh, of some type of invalidation that's inherent in the animal itself? Oh, I'll tell you. So the Gemara says, harova, haroveya vatnirva, if the animal sodomized or was sodomized. So we'll say, again, now we're talking about things that are inherent in the guf of the animal. Vahamuktsa, or an animal, ultimately, again, that was set aside for avodah zarah. Vahaneevad, or an animal that was worshipped as Avodah Zarah. But we'll say, these are status-changing things, right? Once the animal is set aside for Avodah Zarah, it's a cheftza of Avodah Zarah. V'ha'esnan, an animal given to a harlot for her payment. V'ha'mechir, or an animal which is exchanged for a dog. V'ha'kilayim, crossbred animals. Trefa, a trefa animal. Remember again, a trefa animal is an animal that has some type of condition that's going to cause its imminent demise. Hayotze dofen. Well, this is actually interesting. An animal, a C-section animal. Right? Remember again, C-section animals are unfit for sacrificial service. Ba'ali mumin. I'm sorry?
The mother or the...
The animal you want to offer is... No, the mother who gives birth won't necessarily be possible. It's the offspring that's possible. Although, remember, again, most times, most karbanos have age limitations. So already, again, so by the mother, usually she's aged out. So again, Bali Mumin, I will say animal has a mum. So we'll say, so again, Rabbi Shimon will say all of these are cases of what we call, non-pisulo bakodesh. Right, so all of these are cases where the animal has some type of inherent problem, inherent in either in its guf or in its inherent status, and therefore, again, if these animals go up on the mizbeach, then what? Then they come down. Rabbi Akiva machshir b'bali mumin. Rabbi Akiva says a bal mumin is kosher. Now, mostly when he says a bal mumin is kosher, what that would mean is, according to Rabbi Akiva, if the bal mum were to go up on the mizbeach, so you would not take it down. Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim Omer, Rabbi Chanina Skanakonim said, Docha Haya Abba es Ba'ali Mumin Me'agabi HaMizbeach. So Rabbi Chanina said, My father was always very careful to exclude Ba'ali Mumin from the Mizbeach. Which Rabbi Chanina sounds like Chanina Skanakonim is saying that if a Ba'al Mumin animal went up on the Mizbeach, his father was very makbid to Davka have it removed. Kishem she'im alu lo yerdu. So we'll say, just like in some of the cases that we discussed, if the animal goes up, it does not come down. Kach im yerdu lo ya'alu. So we'll say, this is now the corollary to this. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. This is now the corollary to this, which is the same way we said that certain animals should not be sacrificed, but if they're put on the mizbeach, then what? They shouldn't be taken down. But I will say, then what? But if they are taken down, then what? Then what? We don't put it back up. So in other words, we'll say, well, what's the havamina of that? See, the havamina is like this. Let's say you, for argument's sake, have an animal, lun. The animal stayed overnight, and therefore it shouldn't be offered up. Cohen accidentally put it on the mizbeach. So I might have thought that once it's there, essentially it becomes kodesh, like a regular sacrificial animal, to the point that even if somebody removed it, you would put it back on. Kamashal, the Mishnah says, no, that's not how it works. In other words, if you put something that shouldn't be there, assuming that ultimately, again, like Rabbi Shimon says, it's pisulo bakod, there should have some type of invalidation in the realm of sacrificial law. If you put it there, you offer it up. But once it was taken down, then leave it down. Then, of course, we don't put it back up. So the Gemara says, V'chulon, sha'alu chayim l'rosh ha'mizbeach yardu. Both say the same way, but it's actually interesting. Let's see, you have a little bit of a stray. And what happens? The animal, the karbon, runs up the mizbeach while it's alive. Both say, what this would be now, remember again, this would be a very strange case, because remember, live animals, of course, were never taken in to the actual Beis HaMikdash, right? So the truth is, I take that back. Remember, animals were often shechted right by the side of the outer Mizbeach. Obviously, nothing's really going inside is the Mizbeach HaKitores, is the incense altar. So aside from Yom Kippur, animal blood is not really taken there. So you could have a case, I guess, where the animal runs away and runs up the Mizbeach. So if it runs up while it's still alive, then what's the halacha? So yerdu, you take them down from the Mizbeach. Take them down. So the Gemara says, Ola sha'olsa chaya l'rosh ha'mizbeach. But if you have an ola that went up the mizbeach apparently while still alive, teret, ultimately again you should take it down. Shechta b'rosh ha'mizbeach. But if you ended up shechting it there on the top of the mizbeach, then yafshit v'yinsacha b'mkoma. So we'll say, if you end up shechting it on top of the mizbeach, then interestingly enough, what the Mishnah says is what? Then perform the rest of the sacrificial service on top of the mizbeach as well. Go ahead and skin it, right? Go ahead and remove the hide, cut it up into pieces right there. Interesting halacha, which we'll explore a bit more. So for our purposes, what comes out over here is as follows. So we're beginning to go ahead and create categories of when an invalid karban is able to remain versus when it has to be taken down. But perhaps the most important thing that this Mishnah gives us is the klal of Rabbi Shimon. Kol shepisulo bakodesh, whenever you have an animal that has some type of sacrificial invalidation, The idea is the animal itself is fine, but there is ultimately some invalidation from a al sacrificial law, al silchos karbanos. Then the halacha is im ala lo sered. If it goes up, don't take it down. On the flip side, if the flaw is if the issue is fundamentally inherent, either physically or in the character of the animal, then halacha lemaisa, if it goes up, you do in fact take it down. The example of that would be the animal that was set aside for avodah zarah, the animal which engaged in some type of immoral act. Those animals, even if they go up, are taken down. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, zos hi ha'ola. So we'll say, so the pasuk says, the pasuk by ola, that phrase doesn't appear as a phrase. Those are three words that appear in the pasuk. Tzavas arum esponav leimor, zos toras ha'ola. He ha'ola al mukdal mizbeach kalalayla adaboker ve'esham mizbeach tu kadbo. So we'll say there are three what we call specific words in that pasuk. Zos, he, and ha'ola. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says zos mi'uta v'hi mi'uta and hey da'ola mi'uta. So we'll say, so these three words are mi'ut words, right? Are limiting or exclusionary words. What are they coming to limit or exclude? So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, zos hi ha'ola hare elu gimel mi'utin. We'll say, so what does this come to exclude? What does this come to exclude? Prat l'shenishcha tabalayla v'shenishpat l'vishenishpach dama v'sheyatza dama chutz l'kilayim. So we'll say, it comes to exclude the following cases. Either that the ola was shechted at night, or that its blood spilled before it was able to be sprinkled, or the blood was taken outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. In all of these cases, Shem Olsa Teirid. That Allah HaMaisa will say, in all of these cases, if the Ola went up, it's got to come down. It's got to come down. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ola, Einli Ela Ola Kshera. Rabbi Shimon says, Ola, the Pasuk says, Ola, I only know that you could offer up an Ola that's Kasher. B'nayim the Rabbos, Shenishcha Tabalayla, v'shenishpach dama, v'shiyotza dama chutz l'kilayim, v'halon, v'ayotze, v'atame. So we'll say, so now, let me go back for a second. So we'll say, Rabbi Shimon says, so again, we have Rabbi Huda who says, zos hi and ha'ola are three miut words that appear in the context of ola. Why three miut words? To exclude three cases. What are the three cases? An ola that was shechted at night, an ola whose blood spilled before Zrika, and an ola whose blood went out of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. In all three of those cases, you may not offer up that ola. That's Rabbi Shim. That's Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Shim comes along and he says as follows. The Torah says ola. Now, when the Torah says that offering up an ola, I know that applies to what we call an ola kshera, a kasher ola. So the Gemara says, minayim the rabbos, how do I know that I can even offer up the following cases, the following olos? Shenishcha tabalayla, and all that was shechted at night. Shenishpach tama, the blood spilled before Zvika. Sheyasa dama chutz lekinayim, the blood was taken out, outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. Vahalon, a carbon that, an ola that was kept overnight. Hayotze, a carbon that was taken outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. Vahatame, or a carbon ola that became tame. Vishenishchat chutz lizmano v'chutz l'mkamo, or an ola that was shechted outside of its prescribed time, or outside of its prescribed place. Vishekiblo psulin, or an ola where Kabbalah of the blood was done by a kohen who was pasul, v'zarko estamoni, also did the zrika, or hanitanin lemato, shenosna lemalo. Or Rabbi will say, what about a case where I have a karban whose blood was supposed to be placed on the mizbeach below the chutas sikra, below the red line, but was placed above, or ulemala shenosna lemato. Or ultimately, again, the blood was supposed to be placed above the red line, but was placed below the red line. Or v'hanitanin b'chut shenisnan b'fnim. Or a carbon whose blood application was supposed to be done inside the Beis HaMikdash, but was done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Or b'fnim shenasnan b'chutz. Or the blood was supposed to be placed on the inside, but was done on the outside. U'pesach v'chata sheshachtan shalol v'shman. Or a pesach rechatas, which was shechti shalshan sosai. So now comes along Rabbi Shimon and essentially says, Ola teaches me that a kosher carbon can be offered up on the Mizbeach. Where do I learn that even if the carbon was invalidated for any of these entire litany of reasons that we just discussed, that if it went up on the Mizbeach, I leave it there? And Dr. Rabbi said, because let's be clear, I know you know this, but I'll say it anyway. Everyone agrees, of course, that lechatchila, when a carbon is pasul, of course you don't offer it up. We're dealing with cases where the carbon was inadvertently placed on the Mizbeach. So the Shaila is, once it's there, what do I do with it? So Rabbi Shimon now gives this exhaustive list, which is pretty much reflective of the Mishnah. And says, Ola teaches me that a kosher carbon is offered up. How do I know that even if a carbon is invalid, because of any of the stated reasons over here, it is offered up as well? Talmud Lomar, Toras Ha'ola. Therefore, we'll say the Pasuk says, Toras Ha'ola. Riba, Torah Achas L'chol Ha'olin. Torah is coming to teach that there is one Torah for anything that ascends on the Mizbeach. What's the one Torah? Shim Alu, Lo Yerdu. That once it goes up, it does not come down. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Torah Sa'ola, Shehi Al Mukda, Shetei Shamalayla Adaboker Velo Seri. So we'll see Rabbi Shimon has this dramatic drasha of Torah Sa'ola. So the way he interprets it is Torah Sa'ola means this is the Torah for the item which ascends. Once it ascends the Mizbeach, then what? Even if technically speaking it's sacrificially invalid, it stains on the Mizbeach and is offered up on the Mizbeach. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Riba Torah, Achas Chol Olin, Shim Alo Yerdu, Yochol Shanimar Beharova Vahanirva. So we'll say, so I'm at a thought, well, if that's the case, maybe we should also include what? An animal that's sodomized, that was sodomized, Vahamukta, an animal set aside for Avodah Zarah, Hanevad, an animal that was actually offered, that was worshipped for Avodah Zarah, Esnan, payment for a harlot, Mechir, an animal sold for a dog, Kilayim, crossbred animal, Trefa, an animal that's a Trefa, Yotze, dolphin, an animal that's born through a C-section. I might have thought that it comes to include all the, meaning we'll say, maybe Torah Sa'ola means, even if these animals were offered up, then what? Then what? They stand, they're not taken down. To which the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, Zos. Zos. Therefore comes along Rabbi Shimon and says, no, there is a limiting word. I'm sorry. That limiting word is Zos. People say, what does Zos mean? Zos means this one. Zos teaches us that some animals, once they go up, do not come down. And other animals, even once they go up, do come down. The first list are a list of animals that once they go up remain on the Mizbeach versus the second group of animals which ultimately, again, if they go up, they still come back down. To which the Gemara asks, Uma rois l'rabos es elu ulohotzi es elu. So I don't understand, how do you know, now we already know because you saw the Mishnah, but how do you know how to distinguish? How do you know that the first category of cases are all cases where if the carbon goes up, it remains on the Mizbeach. Yet, the second category, Rova, Nirva, Mukta, Ne'evat, Esnan, Mechir, Kelayim, Trefa, Yotzei Dofen, how do you know that in all of those cases, ultimately, again, even if the carbon comes up, even if the carbon goes up, you take it down? To which the Gemara says, Maro es l'rabo s'selo hotzi es elu, Acher sheri b'hakosuf, Amud Beis. Umiyet, so we'll say, here's what we know from the Pasuk. See, remember how this whole discussion started. One thing I know is that in the Pasuk of Ola, there are certain what we call miyot words. Zos, he, Ola. So I know, so we'll say, here's what's fascinating about this Pasuk. On one hand, that phrase of Zos Torah Sa'ola tells me that what? Or I should say Torah Sa'ola teaches me that the Pasuk is coming to teach a general principle, but the word Zos is also coming to limit the application of that principle. Now that's what Rabbi Shimon is doing right now. He is applying the principle of Torah Sa'ola, that once it goes up, it doesn't come down, and he's applying that to certain cases, and he's applying Zos to tell you that it doesn't apply to other cases. To which the Gemara says, so how do you know which cases it applies to, which cases it doesn't apply to? Meaning, where do you know that from? To which the Gemara says as follows. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you, Mar be'ani es elu shahaya pisulon bakodesh. So to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you how. And they both say, this is back to the principle in the Mishnah. I will include in Torah Sa'ola those cases, Shahayo Pisulan Bakodesh, where Rabbi say what disqualifies them is what? Is a detail in sacrificial law. I will include those cases that are disqualified because they did not comply with some element of sacrificial law. And I will exclude the cases, Rabbi Osai, where the disqualification has nothing to do with sacrificial law. Well, it has to do with sacrificial law, but rather the disqualification is what? Is inherent either in the actual physicality or actual status of the animal. So Rabbi Osai, this goes back, this is exactly what we saw in the Mishnah. So remember again, if you look at the disqualified cases, for example, trefa will be a case where the animal itself inherently physically is disqualified. So mukta, the animal again has a status issue, an identity issue of being avodah zarah. So herein lies the distinction. When is pisula bakodesh? When the disqualification is because the carbon didn't comply with some element of sacrificial law, we'll apply the concept of Torah Sa'ula, meaning that once it goes up on the Mizrach, we don't take it down. But if it's in Pisula Bakodesh, but instead again, it is an inherent disqualification either in the physicality or identity slash status of the animal, then I'll apply what? Zos. And Zos says that this will be the type of situation where even if it went up, what's the halacha? Take it back down. Rabbi Yehuda Maisa Mehacha. Rabbi Yehuda learns it out from here. Rabbi Yehuda learns it out from here. To which the Gemara says, good. Rabbi Yehuda Maisa Mehacha. Mipnei ma omru lan bedam kosher. So this is actually very interesting. So Rabbi Yehuda says as follows. Why is it that we say lan bedam kosher? Which also means as follows. If you have sacrificial blood that ended up sitting overnight. So obviously, you're not supposed to apply it. But if you do apply it, you don't have to remove it from the Mizbeach. In other words, you wouldn't have to wipe it down from the Mizbeach. So, how do I know that? Mevnei ma'amru lon bedam kasher. I'll tell you why. Shari lon kasher be'imurin. Because they're both saying, we have kind of like, what's the word? We have a precedent. What's the precedent? The precedent is the case, ultimately, again, of emurin. I'll both say, what's emurin? Emurin are sacrificial limbs. Look at Rashi. Shari lan kasher be'emurin, shim alu lo yerdu. I'll say, so the halacha is, ultimately, again, that if you have limbs of an animal that ultimately stayed overnight and were not offered, and then the next day you went ahead and you offered them up on the Mizbeach, in other words, you inadvertently placed it on the Mizbeach, that you don't take it down. So the Gemara says, just like we know that by Emurin, if you left it overnight, and then you put it up on the Mizbeach the next day, that's what? That you're allowed to leave it on the Mizbeach. So too, by Dam, by blood, if you went ahead and you left it overnight, and then you accidentally put it on the Mizbeach, you can leave it there the next day. To which the Gemara says, Lon Be'emurin Kosher. Now the Gemara is kind of unraveling this a little bit. How do I know that? How do I know that by sacrificial limbs, Moshe said that if I left it overnight, because remember again, normally leftover limbs are burnt on the Mizbeach over the night. If I didn't put it on the Mizbeach, but I left it overnight, how do I know that the next morning I am permitted to go ahead, or the next day, if I put it on the Mizbeach, I can leave it there? Shahare lan kasher bebasar. I'll tell you why, Moshe said, because ultimately again, we see this concept by sacrificial meat. Now, Moshe said, where do we see the concept by sacrificial meat? This is very interesting. Rashi points out over here, shahare lan kasher bebasar, kigon basar shlamim, bless you. We'll say, shlamim, the halacha is consumed for 2 days. So the Gemara says, we see that there's a concept of sacrificial meat being left over for a second day. They're both saying, now this example over here of sacrificial meat being left over for a second day, we'll say, is sanctioned leftovers, right? Because remember, shlamim can be consumed for 2 days. So the Gemara is saying something amazing. That once I see that there's a concept of sacrificial meat being left over to the second day, and you could still consume it, because that's the halacha, ultimately, again, by Shlomim. So I learn out that what? I learn out that even if you have limbs left over till the next day, if it went up on the Mizbeach, you could still burn it. And from that, I learn that what? That if you have blood left over to the second day, then what? If you offered it up, you could leave it. Now, both say, I know what you're thinking. This doesn't mean you're learning out something that is invalid from something that is valid. So we'll say, since what the Gemara just did over here, said, once we see a concept by Shlomim, that if something is quote unquote left over to the second day, it could still be used, even though by Shlomim it's sanctioned leftovers. We're learning out from there that if you left over blood, if you left over limbs, and then if you left over blood, ultimately again, if you put it on the Mizbeach, you could leave it there. Similarly, Yotzei, so we'll say if, let's say again, the carbon was taken outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash and then placed on the Mizbeach, what's the halacha? The halacha is, ultimately, again, if you placed it there, you don't take it down. Why? Shayote kasher abama. Because we have a precedent for this as well. What's the precedent? Bama. We'll say, what's a bama? A bama is a personal altar, which means that there's the technical ability to offer up karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Once I have a precedent for offering up karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash, what does that teach me? That if I inadvertently took my carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash and then took it back in and put it on the Mizbeach, guess what? You could leave it there. Tomei. We'll say, what about Tomei? So again, remember, halacha l'maaseh, if the carbon is Tomei and then I accidentally put it on the Mizbeach, so again, I could leave it there. What's the precedent for that? Hoil v'hotor la'avol la'sibar. Because this is actually very interesting. We have a concept of Tumah Hutcher B'tzibur. Tumah Hutcher B'tzibur means, we've learned this concept before, 51% of the Tzibur becomes Tameh, of the congregation of the nation of Israel becomes Tameh. Then Halacha L'maaseh, you could offer up certain communal karbanos. Meaning what? We see a precedent for karbanos being offered up at Tumah. Once I have that precedent, that tells me that if I inadvertently placed the karban on the Mizbeach while Tameh, I leave it there. Chutz Lizmano, but say, what about if the karban was left over outside of its prescribed time? Then I place it on the Mizbeach, I'm allowed to leave it there. Hoil umiratza lepigulo. Kazavosai, even chutz lizmano, ultimately, again, has a carbonic impact in that it affects pigul. Chutz limkomo, if I did it outside of its prescribed area, hoil v'iskish lechutz lizmano. It was compared ultimately again to the case of chutz lizmano. Shekiblu psulin v'zarko es damo. So we'll say, what about the case where the carbon was accidentally shechted, or I should say, Kabbalah was done by a Kohen who was pasul, and then Zriko was done by the Kohen as well, who's pasul, to which the Gemara says, Bahanach psule dechazu la'avodas sibor. But we'll say, these Kohanim were psulim, ultimately, again, technically, would be permitted to do avodah when the entire tzibor is tameh. So we'll say, so you see what's happening over here? What the Gemara just did, what Rabbi Huda just did over here is something dramatically amazing. Rabbi Huda said that essentially what we're doing is all of these cases where we say that if the carbon was accidentally placed on the Mizbeach, you could leave it there. All of these cases, the reason why you could leave it there is because they have some type of precedent in normative sacrificial law. To which the Gemara says, but I'll tell you why this doesn't make sense. V'chidonim davar shalo b'achshero, midavar shebachshero. To which the Gemara says, but understand what you just did over here. You learned out invalid cases from what? From valid cases. I was about to say, you're very innovative, but what a strange limud. You learned out cases where the carbon is invalid, placed on the Mizbeach, that you could still leave it on the Mizbeach based on the fact that there are similar cases which are kosher. So how can you learn out the validity of the kashrus, so to speak, of invalid offerings from the fact that somehow they resemble kosher offerings? To which the Gemara says, you're right. Tana azos Torah sa'ola riba samichle. To which the Gemara says that in reality, the Tana actually Rabbi Huda is agreeing with Rabbi Shimon. And in fact, he's learning out these halachos as Rabbi Shimon did, ultimately again from the Pasuk Zos Toras Ha'olah. He's learning it out from there. But rather, again, this drasha ultimately, and Rabbi says, is much more B'toras Asmachta. So ultimately, again, he's agreeing with the drasha, but he's agreeing with the previous drasha. But halacha l'maisa, adding on this other concept of what we'll call sacrificial precedent to establish the validity, the ex post facto validity of these karbanos azazel. So we'll say, what comes out over here is as follows. What comes out is that halacha lamaisa, we so far have Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, pretty much saying the same type of idea, just learning it out from in really two different ways, but both seemingly coming back to the same drasha of Torah Sa'ola. Everyone seems to be buying into this general concept that when do we say that an invalid carbon, if it goes up on the Mizbeach, could still remain there? As long as what? Kol shepisulo bakodesh. As long as the animal itself is totally fine, just there's a problematic detail in sacrificial law. If it went up, it stays up. If it's in pisulo bakodesh, then what? In other words, if the animal has a problem, either in its inherent physicality or identity slash status, then the halacha is that even if it went up, it comes back down. Well, so we'll stop over here for today. I'm going to share with you a short idea on the parasha.